Right, hello and welcome to another episode of the Long Ball Football Podcast, a weekly podcast by two brothers about all things football in Portugal. You're listening to myself, Albert, and as always, I'm joined by my brother, Barney. How you doing, Barney? How's things?
Yeah, good. It was exciting to get my Long Ball Football away kit in the post this week. It looks very nice. Always looks nice in the pictures. Lovely design by Lacatoni. But what was even more special was getting the Carter Phillips on the back surname, which I don't think I've ever had before. I think I've always had other football players. So that was I don't know, it made me feel like a kid, you know, having my, getting a kit with my name on the back. So yeah, I was very happy with that. It looks really nice.
Do you want to just describe the shirt to the listeners who maybe haven't seen it yet? Because I don't think we've, to be honest, this might be an exclusive. I don't think I've got my act together and actually told people that this shirt exists yet, other than a few Patreons.
Nice, yeah. I'm trying to think of a similar Portuguese club. The closest I say is, I don't know. It's a white shirt with a sort of the blue and orange yellow, like a line down the middle. I'm not doing it justice.
It's the reference that we gave Lacatoni was a Estrella Amador away kit from I think a couple of years ago. So. Yes, well, I mean, hopefully people get the gist of it. We'll get around to sharing the news on that because, of course, if you remember, we did our football shirts before, but the home shirts, the red and blue stripe, we've got an away kit as well now. So, yeah, if anyone's interested, we'll be sharing news on that very soon. I played in mine on Sunday actually at the old seven aside, absolute scenes, Barney, because I played on Sunday. Which of something I've never done before, which is Footy Addicts, which is a website in the UK where it's like you can, how can I put it? It's a bit like Tinder, but for football matches. You just, anyone can sign up and go and play in this match. So I did it actually. Me and three friends signed up to big game and we played. And at the end of the game, I got an email saying somebody's voted for you as man of the match, which I was very flattered. And then just this morning, Barney, I got a follow-up email saying the results are in and you are officially the man of the match with all the votes combined. So I feel like it was definitely one person, the only person who voted for me, and then I won by default.
And was that your mate?
It was probably one of my mates. As well. I couldn't vote for myself. I did look. I was interested in voting for myself. but I wore the Long Ball Football shirt in that. So maybe that inspired my performance, although I did miss two sitters. But anyway.
Did you lose the game? Is it one of those ones where if you had the picture of your man in the match award, you have the really serious, sad face?
No, we did actually win. Although I didn't get one of those huge size super box. You know, they have that in Portugal. There was, I can't remember what tournament that was. Big man in the match, like champagne size super box bottle. Mm. No, I didn't get anything other than the email, which I have printed out and now have framed on my bedroom wall. yeah. Happy memories. So this week, apologies, we were off last week. We didn't have time to do a podcast last week. Things getting very busy, which was a shame because there were, of course, some big results. But we are back this week. Full disclosure, again, slightly unprepared. We didn't want to miss a second week, so we're not quite as in-depth as we usually are with the games. But me and Barney have come up with an alternative, which is that we're going to run through pretty much all the games. Might be fairly surface level discussion, but we do want to at least just give a picture of what happened in the Premier League this weekend. And then at the end, if we've got time, we might have a little bit of chat about Europe as well. If anybody's interested, this is more like what our Patreon exclusive podcasts are like. A lot more laid back, a lot more informal. So if you enjoy the tone of this show compared to the normal show, which is a little bit more analytical, head over to our Patreon where we get a bonus podcast like this every single week. You can also take part in our Patreon Predictions League where you can win a football shirt of your choice, which is very exciting. And it's only £1 a month. So yeah, definitely go and check it out if you're interested. The link to that will be in the description of this podcast. But yes, let's get cracking, Barney. We've got a lot of games to get through. We want to give people a good picture of where the Premier League is at with only a few games to go for the rest of the season. Start off where the weekend started on Saturday with Ferenc versus Braga. It ended 1-0 to Braga, a goal from Gabri Martinez. was the goal that made the difference. Both teams played pretty well. It was a fairly tight game, but most importantly, I think it's another important win for Braga, who are kind of wrestling with their form a little bit. They're really trying to get their form back on track. And as things stand at the moment, they are only 6 points off of Benfica, and they're on equal points with Porto. So, very important win for Braga, definitely.
Yeah, and of course this was off the back of the win against Porto the week before.
Well, exactly.
So yeah, I feel like they are in a sort of purple patch at the moment. I think a lot of talk of last week when they beat Porto was about Moutinho coming back into the team and his effects on the midfield. I think we saw a bit of that in this game as well. I think it was quite a cagey game overall from Braga. They weren't. You know, Friends are probably one of the worst teams in the league this season. And, Horn's second goal, the Czech goalkeeper had a really good game for Braga, to deny Ferenc a few times. But yeah, I quite like, maybe I don't like, I think Carvajal is doing what Carvajal does in terms of, we're starting to see a bit of stability in this Braga team. Things are starting to look a bit better. Zalazar coming back into the team. That's probably quite a big thing that we haven't properly talked about for last, well, since the January transfer window, really, is that he'd all but moved to Russia, hadn't he? I think, was it twice? Was there two
I'm not
transfers?
sure, but yeah, this was definitely something I wanted to bring up because it was, like you say, he basically hasn't played this year, this calendar year. He was a big player for them in the first part of the season. I think it was a quite a late move as well, wasn't it, in January transfer window. I think he played right up until the end of December, and then right at the end of the window, it was reported that he was signing for Zenit in Russia for like 20 million euros. But anyway, the transfer fell through, and he hasn't played since. I think he has actually been injured. But like you said, with Moutinho, I think that's actually quite a big player for them to get back. I think they really missed him in midfield. I think they lacked kind of creativity. I think that was a real issue that they had in a lot of games where they weren't playing at their best. So definitely to have him back, I think is a huge
Well,
boost.
but particularly in that position, you sort of, if you call it the double pivot, Gorby on the other side, just because I feel like that it's quite important what type of play you have in that role. I think when they've had Carvalho alongside Gorby, that sort of two, I would say, defensively minded players with Moutinho, with the passing range and his understanding of the game, rhythm, etc. That I think that adds a really good element. And so this was actually, looking at that midfield, that looks strong. I think Gabby Martinez got the goal, obviously, but he was sort of playing on the right hand side where Roger would have been if he wasn't injured. Yeah, I don't know. I think my overall feelings for Braga at this current point in time, like I said, very good win against Porto a week back. It just feels like for all Carvajal's negative points, the ability to just get wins occasionally and to not, there's not much drama really around it, is it? I don't know. It just, I think maybe that's where Braga as a club just want to be. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. And but the players are playing better. Like Hornacek, as I mentioned, I think is looking like a real improvement in goal where Mateus used to be. The back four is looking stronger and stronger as every week goes by.
What about?
I'm starting to like Braga a lot.
Yeah, I think they're definitely getting there. I mean, for Ferenc, I thought they were actually quite decent. They weren't terrible. I mean, to lose 1-0 is not that bad. They controlled a lot of the game, particularly the first half. But obviously, not really many chances created. I think we've spoken before about how goals is the biggest thing that they're missing really at the moment. I think it showed in this game because they did have a lot of control of the ball. They did have their moments, and there were good performances from the midfield and stuff, but. Yeah, they're really struggling to score goals.
Oh, sorry, I was just getting some XG stuff. Sorry. Yeah, they haven't been able to. Well, the signings haven't. The attacking signings haven't come off yet. We talked about that recently about how we thought that might inject a little something into their team, but no, I think. Maybe they can take a lot from the defensive performance in this game, looking a bit more solid. They're just a team, but I've just sort of, I think I've written them off really now. I think we're going to come and talk about Bovis a little bit. I know how I had high hopes for them, but for Enns, I just don't see anything in it really. I don't see a player. I don't see a strength in that squad that I think can that whether we're able to turn things around. So I'm sort of, I've written them off, Albert, I'm afraid to say.
Surely you don't mean that, Barney. I mean, they had some decent players in the starting 11. They had Ronnie Loach playing. They had, there's some decent players in that team. Maybe, And hang on, let me have a quick look at the standings. How many points off of safety are they? I mean, well, 6 points. That's not insurmountable. Surely it's still on the cards.
No, not for me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, fair enough. But yeah, it was a big win for Braga. Very important for them. We also saw on Saturday Santa Clara beating Gil Vicente. I think that's a very important win for Santa Clara. They've not been as good form as they started the season in. They're trying to keep ahead of the pack. Vitória are catching them up, Casapia are catching them up. Gil Vicente themselves have been pretty poor, and they're only just above the relegation zone. So another damaging defeat for them, but an important win for Santa Clara. And then the big game, Barney, on Saturday, of course, was Porto versus AVS. It ended 2-0. Sorry, let me get scores up. Yeah, ended 2-0. Goal from the youngster, Rodrigo Moura. Another goal from Fabio Vieira. Very good performance from Fabio Vieira. Incredibly dominant performance from Porto. I thought they never looked in any trouble. Although it was only 1-0 for a lot of the game, I thought they were, very, very much in control of this game. And I think that was important as well, because they've had a few games where they haven't exactly impressed. But yeah, this one they were quite impressive.
I find it very interesting, Albert. I think that did you see the banners in the stadium about?
No.
Let me get the translation, because there was a slight, I don't know if you can call it a protest, but banners were put up in the Dragao about Anselmi.
Really?
It said, "Lack of DNA and ambition does not
Oh.
respect the dragon." So,
I think that's harsh. He's only been there 5 minutes.
this is it. I think this is I think this is what it all comes down to. I think there's so many similarities to how Ruben Amorim has been received in England. I don't know how closely you've been following it all out, but I just feel like it's such an there's so much talk constantly in English media about Amorim and a guy coming with a vision, a specific strategy, trying to implement it on a squad which he's had not been able to change. He's inherited the squad. And how the lack of adaptability, etc., etc. And Selmy's done a very similar thing, even in the sense of the formation. He's come in to this Porto squad. He wants to play a certain way with the three centre backs and the wide players. And as a result, I think what we've seen so far from Anselmi's Porto is poor results, poor performances, because the players aren't quite right for the system, in my opinion. I think Samu's a really prime example. I think I saw a really interesting thing about Samu under Vitor Bruno. The average distance of his shot was about 8 meters away from goal, and under Anselmi, it's now gone up to about 16 meters. And there's other
Wow.
stats that they compared. I think it's Playmaker stats that put this out, but there's other stats they compared about like unsuccessful touches and the way he's involved in the team. It just seems to be that, you have Samu, who at the beginning of the season was lighting the league up, and we thought we'd just, look frightening. In Anselmi's system, it doesn't sort of cater to him really, and I think we're perhaps seeing his weaknesses to his game, because he perhaps maybe this is a bit harsh, but I think Samu's a slightly one-dimensional striker in terms of what he can offer. And he's a good example, right, of what Anselmi's issue is that he doesn't have the players to play in his role. I think in the Braga game, didn't he play Martin Fernandes and João Mário on the right hand side? Two right backs essentially, but you're asking them to do so much more than that in these new positions. I think the importance of Fabio Vieira and Rodrigo Moura against Braga, he didn't have them, either of those two players in the team, right? And that was blatantly obvious how different that poor, how poorly they played. In this game, we were having them both in. That made a huge difference. You need those sort of players. And I think you can also look at the fact that they've had quite a lot of red cards go in their favor. Is it five red cards for the opposition team in the last six games, something like that? That's another, I can sort of understand the Porto fans being upset about this. I can see it. I do wonder if, unlike Amorim, I think Anselmi has perhaps made a couple of decisions which are obviously mistakes. I'm thinking of João Mário and Martin Fernandes playing together the other day. Perhaps his decision to play certain players in midfield. I am inclined to agree with you, Albert. I think he's been there 5 minutes. I think he needs time. I think the team will improve. I think when more players come in and when he's had more time, I think there are players who can improve and become better in these roles. But it is interesting to see the Porto fans' dissatisfaction. And yeah, I don't know. I said a lot there, but I do. I think, I mean, I do understand it, their dissatisfaction, despite this being a pretty decent win.
Yeah, I think it is a bit harsh. I think it's way too soon to be getting on the manager's back. It's like, clearly the guy needs time to get his ideas across to the team. And has he even had one transfer window? So
Yeah, well, they
it's
weren't able to bring him in. They haven't got the money to bring anyone in, have they? So.
yeah, they brought in one or two players. So yeah, I think it's way too soon for that kind of thing. And I actually think it's been improving for Porto. We've been saying every single time that we watch Anselmi, you see a little bit more of what he wants his team to do. And I think clearly that's limited at the moment, especially, with some of the players that he's playing. But nonetheless, there's still some great performances in the team. I thought, again, in a similar vein, once again, Fabio Vieira's best performance since rejoining Porto. He looked back to his best in the way that he played. Great goal, played well all game. I think that's a real positive. I mean, the reintroduction of Marcano at the back is an interesting one because it's probably not what Porto thought they would be doing, still playing even Marcano, despite the fact that they've signed three centre backs this window. But actually, it has added probably some stability and experience. And of course, like players like Rodrigo Moura continuing to play well. Diogo Costa just played very well. So I think maybe I'm completely off mark, but I feel like there's quite a few positives and improvements in the Porto side. So yeah, I wouldn't support any of that sentiment towards the Porto manager. I think they've got to back him and give him the opportunity to improve. I don't know if you've even got anything to say about ABS, Barney. I thought they were pretty anonymous throughout the game. I think Ochoa made some, is it Ochoa? Ochoa made some great saves. Did he also renew his contract recently or something? I think that was quite
I
good to
think
see, but yeah,
perhaps we,
other than that, I didn't see anything really.
perhaps we haven't made as big a deal as we should have about him being in this league,
Yeah, maybe.
playing for ABS, and
Yeah.
I don't know, he's an icon of the game, isn't he?
He is indeed, yeah.
He's a great keeper, a hell of a good keeper. No, I think I haven't got much more to say about ABS. Red card obviously hurt him in this game. I don't know if they could have maybe turn things around. There's good players in there, but yeah, I think they'll be all right for sure. But yeah, I'm sorry to bring it back to poor Albert, but just quickly, they did obviously, there was a little shift in Anselmi's system. It's sort of reverting to the back four in this game, so I don't know if that's why some of the players look better or more comfortable. I'm looking at like Moura and Fabio Vieira. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's what I said, but I think Meccano is like, as I think you're right to point out him. I think that his introduction to the back line has helped things because, despite the potential of some of those young centre backs that are in that Porto team, I think they need someone like him. And we shouldn't forget, you know, he's playing in the position where this time last year we had Pepe playing there. You know, a huge figure to lose in a Porto team.
Very, very, very well said. And then, of course, Barney, we move on to Sporting, who beat Famalicão 3-1. They scored in the first minute. Another goal for Ivan Fresneda. I think it's like his third goal of the season or something after such a poor start to the season that he had. And then, of course, a penalty for Victor Gyökeres and a late goal for Jenny Cattamo. Famalicão scored their own penalty, 35th minute, a penalty I thought it was. I don't know. I thought it was quite soft, to be honest. That penalty. I mean, I'm sure their fans would disagree. I thought Sporting deserved the win quite comfortably. I've seen rumblings, Barney. People saying that they're over reliant on Victor Gyökeres now. I don't know. I don't quite buy that. I think, you know, he's always been the best player at the team. No one's denying that. But I think when you look at the performance, I think you look at the way Trincão played, the way Giovanni Kenda played, the way Debas played. All these type of players, I think, are top players who are performing well, and I thought it was a well-rounded performance and a good win at a good time because you know it's well documented that they've had stumbles recently, but they maintain their lead at the top of the table, albeit with a game in hand, thanks to this win.
Yeah, I think we're starting to see. I think they're getting better and better, I'd say. I think Fresneda's a really good player to highlight because his improvement has been. He seems to be finally reaching the potential that he arrived with, so like a couple of seasons ago. Because I remember when he signed for them, like there were big t teams interested in him at the time, and he just had no opportunities on the Amarin. And then,
And he costs a lot of money.
yeah, it cost a fair chunk. So. Yeah, I think Rui Borges has done a really good job with him. Yeah, and I agree with you what you say about Trincao. Like, you know, we shouldn't forget how good a player Trincao is as well. I saw her lovely story pop up on Twitter about it was like a proper headline. It was like Trincao wants to renew, but with the promise of the captain's armband, but Sporting are probably willing to offer him the number 10 shirt or something. I don't think he wants to. I quite like. I don't know. I haven't picked up vibes that he wants to catch his armband. But if they can get him to renew, that'd be a hell of a thing.
It'd be huge, yeah.
I suppose we should have mentioned the story of Quenda potentially signing for Chelsea. I don't know how official that is. I've seen lots of stories about it. A disappointing move for me, just simply because I feel like there's so many similar players at that club. Although the thing is that he'll be loaned back for the next season, which is. Good for Sporting, obviously. But I guess I think he's another one out actually who under Rui Borges has played well, you know, being on the Amarin we're seeing mainly on the right hand side, but with Rui Borges he's put him on the left wing and I think we're seeing an interesting side of his game, you know, being that left footed left winger. I've quite liked him out there. So no, I think that yeah, Sporting are I think, you know, we saw perhaps when he first took over there was a real focus on the defensive side, but as the time gets on, I think those relationships between the wide players, you know, Fresneda on the full, if you want to call him the right back, I think Matheus Reis has got really good overlapping play with whenever he plays on that left hand side. I think we're starting to see a bit more creativity, really, and I think that's why we're starting to see more goals. Of course, Gyökeres is important to that. He's, you know, he of course he's going to be starting up front for them when he's fit. But no, I think we're starting to see a bit more of an interesting side of Rui Borges' Sporting.
Yeah, definitely. I think we should go back to the Kenda news, like you said. So, for anybody who's not aware, Giovanni Kenda is going to be joining Chelsea for 51 million euros. But as Barney said, he's going to stay at Sporting next season. So, he won't join Chelsea until 2026. Allegedly, that's without any add ons or there's no add ons, there's no clauses, nothing like that. It's a straight 51 million. And interesting, Barney, Chelsea also picking up Dario Assugo, the midfielder. He's currently on loan as Las Palmas in Spain from Sporting. That's 22 million euros.
That seems they both seem a bit low, Albert.
There you do both. But how many times do we have this conversation about players leaving Portugal for low fees? It does seem quite low, doesn't it? Especially for someone like Kenda, 51 million euros. I mean, there's positives and negatives. Obviously, the positive is, like you say, that Sporting are guaranteed to have the player for next year, which I think, you know, they could have lost him in the summer and not had him next season. I think he'll be a big player for them next season. But for such a young player with such high potential, maybe 51 million is a bit low, especially without, like I said, without those add-ons. I think Chelsea have done very, very well in those two deals, because the Isugo deal as well, 22 million euros
I
and no
know.
add-ons there. So
And he's been doing well in La Liga.
so great
And throwing
signings for
the,
Chelsea, but
and sorry, I was going to say, throwing the fact that Morita's moving on at the end of the season. You know, there's a space in midfield. I know João Simão's been good, and there's been a couple of youngsters that Rui Borges has brought through. But I don't know. I find that interesting. Hey, maybe De Bast will be the new man.
Yeah, I mean, it's the name of the game, really. It's always been, selling players for big money. 51 million euros on a youth team player is huge profit on a player that, there's no transfer fee there. So you've got to kind of
Hey.
accept that for what it is. But yeah, it's
And
a big deal.
if that's 70 mil on the bank, then there's less reason to sell Jokeres
True. There you go.
well.
Maybe, yeah, if you're our sporting fans, if you sell Kendra and Nasugo but keep Jokeres, would they take it? I mean, I hate to break it to them, but they're probably gonna lose both, all of them anyway. So
For Famalicão, but I did want to talk about Gustavo Sarr. I mean, I know Aranda got the goal. And he's been very good, but I think Gustavo Sarr, yeah, he just continues to really impress me. And I don't know, I know there's lots of fans of his, but yeah, I think he's got to be his last season at Famalicão. He's got to be moving on the end of this window because he's been so good.
Yeah, maybe a player destined for one of the big three.
Maybe he goes in that sporting midfield, who knows?
Well, precisely, yeah, exactly. Could well happen. And then moving on, Barney, there was another 3-1 game, but in my opinion, this is an equally interesting game. 3-1, Nacional 3, Casapia 1, for Nacional, goals from Peña, Boia and Joel. And then there was a equaliser for Larrazabal in Casapia. I tell you what, I hate it when all the players with the hardest names to pronounce score. But there you go. A big win for Nacional, Barney, in all seriousness. We've talked a lot about Nacional and how well they're doing, picking up a lot of points for a team with probably the smallest budget in the league, with probably the worst squad in the league. But their manager, Margarito, continues to do excellent things with that squad. They're now, can you believe it, 11th in the table. Casapia themselves in 7th. So still very good seasons for both teams. I have to say, I think my money would have been on Casapia before the game started, but an absolutely fantastic win for Nacional and a man of the match performance for Peña.
Yeah, my man. I think I don't know. I think Nacional have found their feet now. They're on a good run. I think they're feeling confident. I think they feel safe as well. I think that's probably had a little factor on their recent performances. I think Casapia, the thing my takeaway from this game is Albert was just look at that front three, and I didn't. If I'm being honest, I don't know any of them. And you know,
Trying to read them out.
Usen, I feel like I'm gonna butcher, but it was Kered Usandia, Cal, who I think was. Have they signed from Gil Vicente? I can't remember.
Calais,
And
yeah.
yeah, Miguel Sousa. No, the reason I bring it up,
Cassiano
but
on the bench, Barney. Not sure why that was.
yeah, Cassiano Livellon on the bench as well. The French player's been playing pretty well. But I think the highlight, I'm trying to sort of highlight the fact that they've lost players, right? They've and they haven't replaced them. Nuno Numero in particular, in that front three was so good. But sorry, to go back to Nacional, I think they, you know, they're not they, there's different players coming into the team. You know, they're not just sticking with the same 11. You've got Arvin Appiah, the English left winger, playing left back in this game. Players like Paulinho Boia having a really good game on the left hand side, and then yeah, I know I talk about him so much, but I think when they signed Peña, I thought that was a bit of a coup really. But he's so good in that attacking midfield role. I really like him as a player. I think he's a real talent. So yeah, and how many goals has he got now? He's got a fair few. So in his consecutive games. So yeah, man of the match for him. But you know, we talk about the bottom teams a lot recently, and and we talk about them in sort of with not really much to say, really. They're so disappointing, but Nacional have really been the highlight of that those promoted teams this season.
Oh yeah, absolutely, without a doubt. Just in case anybody didn't realise, yes, Ruben Cliver playing centre back for Casapia, the son of Patrick Cliver. So, pretty interesting. But yeah, that was a, yeah. I wasn't sure about that, but it turns out he is indeed related. Some more interesting games from the weekend. We'll go for a couple of these quickly. Bonnie, Arouca won, Estoril won. On paper, probably a game that we would have picked out in advance to watch. Two teams that we really enjoyed watching in great form. It does seem like it was a bit of a I'm not gonna say smash and grab result for Arouca, but definitely that Estoril were the better team. They created the better chances. They controlled most of the game and will probably be disappointed not to win. But I thought it was a really interesting game. Two teams with great players, with pretty much both teams playing their best 11. I think it probably did deserve Estoril to win, but that's football. Both teams get a point. And yeah, I don't think either of them will be too disappointed.
No, I think they're probably at similar standards, really, aren't they? The way they've been both been playing recently. So this is going to be a quite an even matchup. I haven't got really much to add up because I feel like we've talked a lot about these teams
We have
recently.
indeed, yeah.
I do really like them both. They're just these. I mean, these are the team. This is why I love doing the Portuguese league, like teams like this and players like these guys. I don't know. They're just yeah. If I was to sum up my sort of teams, it would be these two.
100%. And then, of course, moving on to Sunday. Sorry, continuing with Sunday, big game was Real Ave 2, Benfica 3. Really, really enjoyable game for a neutral to watch. I'm sure it was less enjoyable for Benfica fans who would have had a bit of their heart-in-mouth moment as they saw their 2-0 lead evaporate within 10 minutes as Real Ave scored two goals to come back. But they did rally and got the winning goal in the 80th minute for Aksakoglu, the Turkish winger. Player that very much needed a goal. I have to say, fantastic game, Bonnie. I really enjoyed this one. Like I said, very entertaining. Rio Ave a team that we've been impressed with quite a lot and impressed me in a way they got those two goals. Of course, Clayton scoring, Brandon Aguilera scoring. But Benfica themselves did play well. Kotchu scoring in the first half, Pavlidis in the second half, Aksakoglu as well with that late winner. So, I'm sure the Benfica fans won't see this as a good win. They would have preferred like a 3-0 or a 2-0. But in the grand scheme of things, I think they overcame a tricky obstacle and yeah, very, very important win because they're hunting down the title, as we've said.
Yeah, I mean, the first goal, Kosh's goal was quite a hit, wasn't it? I mean, I feel like we haven't seen that enough from him. We knew that was in his locker, but he hasn't done it much in Portugal. I think I'm inclined to say Kosh is doing quite well under Lage. I don't think it's perfect, but I think Lage is sort of getting more out of him than the previous managers have. And I think Artacoglu, coming on and getting the goal. We had Bruma starting in this game, a signing that I wasn't so taken with, but actually when you it does give them a little bit more depth on the wings and allows them to rotate and there's not as the reliance on Artacoglu, so that gives them a bit of rest and they can try and find some form. I think that's going to be the thing that if anything that lets them down is those the fact that as good a side as Real Ave, it did suddenly turn. The game turned so quickly, didn't it? And it just took a mistake or two, which Benfica's players do seem to have in them, particularly, looking at the back with Silva and Florentino in particular. So I don't know. They did well to get the win. Real Ave are a good team at the moment. I think they're brimming with confidence as well. So yeah, it's an important win. But I think Large is really putting them in the right direction in terms of keeping up with that title fight.
It does still seem to be some weaknesses, though, doesn't there? Just like letting these teams back in a way that they shouldn't do. They probably should get the third goal and kill off the game. They dominate the game so much, and Real Ave didn't even have that much of a good spell in the game, and yet they still managed to get two goals. So slightly worrying. I mean, again, from a neutral perspective, delighted to see Clayton still banging the goals in. I mean, he's one of the stories of the season for me. The way that he's, the number of goals that he scored at his age has been, yeah, it's been fantastic to see. But yeah, ultimately, very good win for Benfica that they'll be very pleased with. And then, of course, the last two games of the weekend, Barney, both kicked off at the same time, Sunday evening. Vitória 2, Estrela da Amadora 0. Similarly, Barney, really important for Vitória to get a win. Obviously, we might come on to after this if we've got time, just briefly, that they lost in Europe, of course, in a really kind of disappointing fashion, end of their journey in the Europa Conference League. But they did bounce back. They played very well. Goals from Thomas Handel and Arcanjo, a really good player, man of the match for me. Yeah, again, Estrela Amadora, not the toughest team in the world to play at the moment, but it was definitely a much needed win for Vitória.
Yeah, a couple of mistakes from Estrella, but Vittoria won't complain. I think yeah, I feel like the it'd be interesting to see how Vittoria do now, now coming out of Europe. I think they did so well in that first leg against Betis, and then yeah, the was it 4-0 at home? Really big defeat, really sort of. I don't know,
Do you
maybe
think
put.
they've struggled to balance both tournaments at times?
No, I was actually inclined to say they did remarkably well, particularly in the group stage. I think maybe at this point of the season, with the couple of departures they had in January, that sort of slightly made things a little bit harder. You had, yeah, it, you've you, they've had their squad sort of been exposed a little bit more, I'd say, in the second half of the season. Yeah, I'm wondering if now they can try and push a little bit more in the league and have a bit more energy, because it is, it's not only playing on a Thursday night, but it's also traveling to all points of the Europe. Yeah, I don't know. I think the first half they did really well, but the second half, I'm inclined to say they perhaps could do with focusing a bit more on the league and maybe trying to push a little bit higher, because they're still a good squad despite the departures that I mentioned, and there's still really good talented players in there. And I've got to hold my hands up, Albert, and say that I think Nelson Oliveira, I'd sort of written him off, but
I
he's
told you, didn't I? I told you.
yeah,
I
he
told you.
did.
He's still got it. He's
He
got a
has still
place.
got
He's
it.
got a place in this team, isn't he? He's got something to
Yeah.
offer at this level, which I think is good. But you're right to say that. Yeah, the focus now really does turn to the league Vitória, because they've been lower down than they should be. They've been in kind of 8th, 7th, 6th place. They're in 6th place now, 2 points behind Santa Clara. 3 wins in the last 5 games for Vitória. Santa Clara have only won one in their last five. So they're closing that gap down. And why I think the gap to 4th place is probably almost certainly a bridge too far. They're going to be hunting down Santa Clara. They want to take that 5th place that they really should be occupying. And I think if they can do that, we'll look back on this as quite a successful season, especially with the run in Europe, despite how it ended. Important win for them. And then lastly, Barney, Morarins won, Boavista nil. I mean, the Boavista fairy tale seems to have diminished somewhat. They got that important win, but they've lost two on the bounce now. I thought they were well beaten by Morarins, if I'm being honest. I think there was only ever one team that was going to win this game. They were second best, which is a shame. But listen, we always knew it was going to be tough. I mean, last time we spoke, I think I said they wouldn't win another game for the rest of the season. Barney, I think you reckon
I
they
said
were going to
ten
win
points and
10?
five.
10?
How many games left they got to get the
8 games, I think, after this
point?
to get 10 points. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean this is dreadful for them, because not only did they lose, but Salvador Agua got suspended, so he'll a big player for them, and he'll miss next games. Yeah, I think interesting lineups. Vidigal still going for quite a defensive formation, and I think that's where you sort of see the missing parts of the jigsaw is the midfielders, really. To his credit, I think Van Ginkel has actually quite impressed me from what he's shown. He's looked pretty good, but then the rest of midfield, Vukotic and Camara, who I think are both at some points playing in the back five under Vidigal, so. They're obviously missing players. We know that, but yeah, I think Morens, who haven't been in the best of forms, but yeah, it was comfortable for them. It was haunting me about when I saw this result. I was thinking, like, well, I was so sure that they were going to do it. So sure that Boa Vista were going to get escape this, but no, it's looking harder and harder every week now, isn't it?
Yeah, unfortunately, and it was their former manager Bacci, Cristiano Bacci, who kind of put the nail in the coffin. Obviously, the manager of Moreirense. This is my buddy. One of my. This is the derby that I think people don't know exists. It's the Shadrach derby, the chessboard derby, because
Oh
obviously both
yes,
teams with the square
I forget that.
tops. But yeah, listen, some good performances on the pitch for Moreirense as well. Very strong defensively, and you know, I thought they looked very good. I mean, obviously, like I said, against easy opposition, but yeah, a good win for them. And there we have it. That was all the games from this weekend. If you want to quickly round up the table, should we have a look at where everybody's standing? Bottom two, automatic relegation. That's Boa Vista and Farense at the moment, and then there's a 6-point gap between ABS, who occupied a relegation playoff spot, Estrela Amadora and Gil Vicente, all on 23 points, and then another 6-point gap between Arouca, followed by Rio Ave, Nacional, Moreirense, Famalicão, Estoril, Casapia, and then the top six is Vitória, Santa Clara, Braga, Porto, Benfica, and Sporting. At the top end of the table, there is only, like we said, 3 points separating Sporting and Benfica. And Benfica have a game in hand, and Barney, those two teams still to play. So I think the title race is going to be very exciting as we head into the last few games of the season. But I think that's all we've got time for this week. Perhaps a slightly short episode than usual, but we appreciate everybody who's listening. Hopefully this episode was somewhat informative. International break coming up, so we will be back when the Primeira Liga returns. But for now, I think I'd just leave you to say thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, see you next week.